Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, are we going to see any immigration reform in the House of Representatives? The Senate's already done its job.
No. I'll expand. I really firmly believe we will not see immigration reform, at least until after the elections. The Republicans recently released their principles on immigration reform. And one of the things that was interesting about that is that most of the principles articulated in that document were similar to those that were in the Senate bill you just mentioned. The major exception to that was the pathway to citizenship. The House Republicans are still pretty adamantly opposed to, I think what they've said, they are adamantly opposed to a special pathway to citizenship. And until that changes in the Senate bill, they'd be rather uninterested. I also think they're...
Well, why can't... I'm sorry, Red, for interrupting, but sure. Why can't they just... You say, okay, we're not going to do that part of it. Go to conference and say that part is out, and then you'd have a bill.
That's a good question. So I think they have a couple reasons. I think there are, in fact, three reasons that I can point to why they really don't want to move the ball forward on immigration. First is the fear of a party split before the election.
There's internal divisions on this in their own party.
Yeah, big time. I think there's this kind of recognition by elites within the party that they need to woo Hispanic voters, because if they don't, in the long run, they are not going to be viable, particularly in presidential elections. However, if you look at like the membership in the House, the majority of House GOP members come from districts without a substantial Hispanic population. So they don't care. You know, that doesn't affect them in terms of their chances for re-election. And we also know that some of them are coming from places where their constituents feel very strongly that immigration reform is not something they should be focused on, especially if it means some kind of long-term worker program or even a pathway to citizenship. I think the second thing that you've heard them say, and John Boehner said this, the Speaker of the House, said that Republicans simply do not trust President Obama to execute a law that they would pass in a way that was consistent with what they intended. In other words, that he would take an immigration law and he would enforce the parts that he likes and he would push away the stuff that he doesn't like.
But basically, they don't want to give him a victory, do they?
I think that's right. Right. I think that's the translation. The trust. I mean, I do think that there's this issue of trust. And I believe Boehner when he says that his membership does not trust Barack Obama. But I also think there's the issue of a victory going into the next election or going in to the next presidential election. They simply don't want to give Democrats a look of success. And I think that's also some of the subtext there when they say that, well, we don't trust Obama to do this. Who would they trust? Well, they would trust a Republican president. So that they're not saying immigration reform is off the table. They're saying that we just don't want to move forward when there's this president who is going to manipulate the bill that we pass. The last thing, and I think this is actually pretty important, too, is that they don't have a border security policy yet. So in those principles that they published, they talk about securing the borders, but it's not clear what they mean by securing the borders. You know, this requires real policy work, and real policy work is kind of hard. And the House GOP conference really hasn't done this hard work yet. I'm not saying that they won't get there, but they haven't done it yet. So you have to think a little bit about what does that mean? Does that mean a big fence? Does that mean boots on the ground? If it means boots on the ground, how many? And how much are you willing to expand the federal bureaucracy and the federal budget in order to put boots on the ground?
Yeah, right? But is it really policy or is it just plain old politics, the old style way, keep those people out of here?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be just one, but I do think that this is actually that they don't really know what they want yet. They haven't had those conversations internally yet as to the way they want border security to look. And until they do that, they can't really move forward because they have to have a kind of a sense of their demands, a sense of what will bring consensus within their own caucus before they go on and do battle with the Democrats.
Brad Hayes, let me talk to you. You mentioned John Boehner.
Yes.
The speaker. There's some back channel stuff about whether or not he can be reelected again, whether his people are mad at him. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, the last debt ceiling authorization ended up with Boehner putting forward the clean debt ceiling, and that really ticked off a lot of the members in his party, particularly kind of in that Tea Party wing. And so there are many groups that are now pushing for a new speaker. And there have been, as you said, some rumors that he may even, step down or that he may even leave the House after the election. He wouldn't do that before the election. But if we even think about the start of this Congress, right, he only won the speakership by 6 votes, which is an extremely small margin, and because 10 Republicans voted for somebody else. And so he's vulnerable. There's no doubt about that. There's no question of like, well, OK, so he's on the outs right now, but will he be after the fall elections? Winning is a pretty good cure for what ails you. And if the Republicans are able to hold the House or even expand on their control of the House, then he might well be able to make the case that he should still be in control.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Affordable Care Act. And whether we only have a couple of minutes, by the way, and I know it's a lot to ask of you, but I'm not hearing too much about it lately, even though I hear the Republicans see this as their best chance of getting over.
Yeah, I mean, I think you will just hear more and more about the Affordable Care Act. I think the 2014 GOP campaign strategy is going to be to hit at healthcare and, with the following kind of a slogan: lose your insurance, lose your doctor, lose your job. And you're going to see kind of the parade of horribles. In other words, horror stories are going to be featured prominently in campaign ads, particularly by kind of associated groups. We already have seen this put out by Americans for Prosperity, which is one of the Koch brother organizations. And, the horror stories go like this, that, before the Affordable Care Act, things were pretty good. But then afterwards, I was denied this, or I lost this, or I lost my job.
Yeah, but what about the 39 million or 40 million people who got put on the rolls? If those folks were to really turn out in unusual numbers, it could only help the Democrats, couldn't it?
Right, I think that's correct.
But will they is the issue.
Yeah, no, I think that's the major question. I think healthcare policy doesn't translate real well in terms of politics, right? There's just the nuance that is needed for healthcare policy doesn't, kind of reduce well. It doesn't fit into that kind of reductionist politics well. And there's a real struggle. I mean, the reality seems to be that you have, yes, expanded a number of people covered. You have a more level playing field between the insurer and the insuree. You have controlled costs. But you also have this other part that, some individuals are paying a little bit more this year than they were last, and sometimes for less coverage, right? So you have some winners and you have some losers, but that's a difficult thing to package in a campaign ad. It's a difficult thing to package and mobilize your voters with. And so you get caricatures on both sides, really, that the Affordable Care Act, is absolutely fabulous, or that the Affordable Care Act is the end of America as we know it. And that's unfortunate because we do need a really robust discourse on healthcare policy moving forward.
Professor Brad Hayes of Union College. Brad, we love having you here. You're a smart guy, and we always learn something. So thanks so much for doing it.
Oh, it's always my pleasure.